Good morning, Hope College. So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Lydia Berkey. I'm Chief of Culture and Inclusion for Student Congress.
My name's Cara Moss. I am the Director of Marketing and Daily Operations for Student Activities Committee.
And we are both seniors here at Hope College. Hallelujah. So this morning, I have the opportunity to introduce to you Austin Channing Brown. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Austin Channing Brown is a leading new voice on racial justice and author of I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. Austin is committed to exploring the intersections of racial justice, faith, and black womanhood. Her workshops are one of a kind, infused with justice, pop culture, humor, and truth-telling. Whether she is being interviewed, lecturing, or leading a workshop, Austin is sure to elicit a full range of emotions as she invites you to celebrate blackness with her. Austin attended North Park University, where she earned a degree in business management. She also has a master's degree in social justice from Mary Grove College in Detroit, Michigan. Since earning her master's, Austin has worked with nonprofits, churches, and universities for the advancement of racial justice and reconciliation. Austin lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan with her husband, her son, and her very spoiled puppy. Please come tonight to the Black History Month lecture in Jack Miller Auditorium at 7 p.m. where Austin Channing Brown will deliver her keynote.
I'm gonna read the verse for today. This is Zechariah 8, 15 through 17. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, these are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. If you could bow your heads and pray with me. God, thank you so much for bringing us in this space. Thank you for bringing Austin here. Lord, I pray that you would open up our ears to hear, that you would work through this room in our community, God. We thank you for everything that you do, and I pray that we would reflect the light, Lord, that you give to us. Amen.
Y'all, since y'all's chapel services are so short, I'm just gonna hop right in, okay? While in theory, millennials define a specific generation, one glance at the media shows that right now, millennials just means young people. You all fall somewhere between millennial and Generation Z, but advertisers seem to be the only ones interested in figuring out what that means. The rest of the world is lamenting our uncanny ability to kill, well, everything. Here's just a short list of the things we've been accused of killing. If you identify as a millennial, you are killing casual dining like Applebee's and Ruby Tuesdays, but also fast food giant McDonald's. You are killing napkins, cereal, mayo, yogurt, motorcycles, cars, running, bars of soap, and fabric softener. You're killing department stores like Sears and Kmart. You're killing cruises, diamonds, and the golf industry. If you are Generation Z, you are not off the hook. You are killing malls, print magazines, and basically anything related to paper, cash, cable TV, traditional radio. You are currently killing Facebook. And wait for it, you are also killing the English language. As an RD at Calvin College, I managed a dorm of 240 18 and 19-year-olds. It's okay, I swear, I'm a good one. In my time as an RD, I've learned a lot about you beyond these lists. I've had students who became nurses and social workers, teachers, pastors, and counselors. I have teachers who use film and audio to tell stories of those who are marginalized and hurting. I know hopeful writers who use the school paper to ask the community, is this who we are, and is this who we want to be? I have students who have a text system for friends who are depressed or anxious or suicidal. I know students who use Facebook to organize friends to volunteer at homeless shelters and after-school programs. Students who use Facebook to raise money and organize protests and vigils. I have been with students who have lost a friend, a significant other, a parent. I have been to the funerals of my own students. So I know that while you get bored by lectures like this one, when you could be watching cat videos, or let's be honest, making cat videos, many of you are also dealing with real life. And one thing that is real in your lives is race in America. I suspect you know that some things have gone very wrong in American history when it comes to race. Slavery, genocide, internment camps, lynching, redlining, mass incarceration, discrimination of all kinds. But the question each generation must ask itself is this. In the midst of living my life with papers, friends, and family, and deciding whether or not to be vegan, and as I participate in the creation of culture, how much credence, time, and energy will I give to the ongoing project called Pursuing Racial Justice? Because while you may be killing things off and navigating college life, many of you are also directly impacted by national stories of racial injustice. Students have wondered if a travel ban would prevent them from coming to school or returning home. Students have had parents who've been swept up by ICE. Students who have had violent police encounters, who have a parent or a sibling or a cousin who is incarcerated. Some of you right now cannot afford to get sick because your family needs access to good health care. Some of you are from neighborhoods overflowing with liquor stores, but riddled with school closings. Some of you pray for a peaceful world, not out of some pious notion of being righteous, but because those prayers would make a difference in your own life. While there are a lot of folks counting the ways you're changing the landscape of America, I want you to know that I am watching what you're creating. The songs, the music, the videos, the protests, the centers, the volunteer opportunities, the ways you dare to ask, could this be done differently? Since this is a chapel service, I suppose I should at least mention one Bible story. And I hope it's one most of you are familiar with. It's the story of the birth of Moses. Exodus opens with a major human atrocity, slavery. But even this isn't enough to assuage the fears of Pharaoh, who is concerned about the Hebrew nation. So he determines to make things even worse. He demands that all Hebrew newborns be killed at birth. At first, he tries to secretly enlist the help of midwives, but they practice a little civil disobedience and refuse to be cooperative. So Pharaoh needs a new plan. He makes his decree public, allowing any of his servants to complete this heartless act. In the middle of this devastation, God raises up three women who get a little creative, who speak truth to power. First, God inspires creative action. Jochebed determines to hide her infant son when he is born. I like to think she used the same materials that were supposed to be her undoing: straw, mortar, pitch, reeds. These she transforms into a basket. She places the protected child in the river instead of drowning him, as the law requires. She sees the river as his salvation. Jochebed transformed the weapons of violence into resources for deliverance, and God is still inspiring us to do the same. Bricks into a basket, swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. But maybe you'll turn guns into garden tools, or broken treaties into restored land, weapons of war into clean drain pipes, abandoned buildings into community centers, prisons into rehabilitation centers, check cashing businesses into grocery stores. God is still calling us to transform weapons of violence into tools that respond directly to the needs of marginalized communities. And when Jochebed must walk away from the basket with her beloved inside, God inspires profound compassion. When the princess opens the basket, the baby cries, and she knows immediately this is one of those Hebrews. Now the princess, from her place of power and privilege, must make a decision. It is expected that she will make the lawful decision, that she will be obedient to her father. With just one finger, she could tip over the little boat. No one would shout at her. No one would write on her Facebook wall or troll her on Twitter. She would not be dismissed from family dinners. No one would accuse her of taking things too far if she would just do what was expected. It is her compassion that could cost her. And yet it is profound compassion that overwhelms her. In Hebrew, the root of the word compassion is to commiserate. And I love that because it describes what happens next. As Miriam notes the princess's tender response to the baby, Miriam springs into action. She offers a plan, commiserate with me. She whispers between the words as she openly suggests that the princess save the life of the child and allow his mother to take care of him. The two women stare at one another. I believe God is in this moment, healing and working. The women are commiserating not only with one another, but with God. By saying no to fear, by transforming the violence around them, by expressing costly compassion, by commiserating together. And we're being called to do the same. I love this story because of the audaciousness of these women and the way they work together in the midst of a national crisis of death, devastation, and injustice. And now we stand in our own Nile moment, staring at one another across political lines and racial boundaries and hurdles of separation. And we must ask ourselves, will we too accept the invitation to commiserate with the Holy Spirit and one another? Do you believe that God is still working in the world? Do you believe that you can contribute to the legacy of racial justice? Will you, like these women, join a multicultural campaign of freedom that undermines unjust systems? Will you choose to focus less on what the world claims you are killing and redouble your efforts to build a more just world? Will your actions speak truth to power? Amen. Please go in peace.